All right, Matthew chapter 6, I titled the lesson this morning, Teach Us to Pray. And the last class when I was here 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first 18 verses of this chapter. Look at what the Lord is teaching us, the believer's motivation to good works, our motivation in praying and fasting, denying the flesh. This morning, I want to go back, though, and look at more detail in the Lord's instruction on prayer. I think it'll be something that we'll enjoy. Every believer prays. They pray, just naturally. Just like living flesh breathes, a believer prays. You know, soon as Saul of Tarsus was converted, the Lord told Ananias to go down there to him, and Ananias said, now wait a minute, you sure about this? And the Lord said, you go to him, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. He's a believer, he prayeth. Every believer prays. In Psalm 32, verse 6, David said, everyone that's godly prays. So we all pray. Every believer does. But every believer seems to find prayer to be difficult. None of us are satisfied with our prayer, our private prayer, our public prayer. The disciples weren't. Our Lord was a man of prayer. They saw him praying many times. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. They weren't satisfied with their prayer either. I believe the Lord's given me something that will be helpful in this regard of prayer. And we got to, I think, look at these verses remembering that the Lord is teaching us the motivation of the heart in these matters of fasting and praying and good works. He's teaching us the motivation of prayer. The motivation of the heart is more important than the words that we use. I believe if we really got a hold of that, that would help us in our prayer, that the motivation of the heart is more important than the words that we use. So first, here the Lord teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5, he teaches us how not to pray. Verse 5, he says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they might be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now, you know the master here is not condemning public prayer in any way. What he's condemning is praying in public so that other people see us praying. That's our motivation. Other people see us praying so that they'll be impressed with how religious we are. And he warns them about that because that's the motivation of the Pharisees. He said, don't be like that. You remember the Pharisee in the temple who prayed thus with himself? Well, he is praying so other people could see him praying. He was praying thus with himself, and God didn't hear that prayer. And why would he? He wasn't praying to God. He was talking to himself. But if we pray from the heart, God will hear that prayer. Now, prayer is an act of faith. It's an act of faith towards God. That's why we're praying to him. We believe him. Prayer is talking to our Heavenly Father. Children don't talk to their father so other people see them talking to their father. We talk to our father out of love and out of respect and out of need because we have a relationship with him. And Lord tells us, he's teaching us how not to pray. He says, don't use vain repetition. That includes so many things. Don't use, just keep repeating a bunch of religious jargon. The Lord's not going to be impressed with our much speaking. Some of the shortest prayers in Scripture were highly effectual. Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. When we pray, we ought not to use a memorized prayer, the words of someone else. When we pray, that ought to be the words of our heart. We ought not be repeating, Hail Marys, like, you repeat, how many of them they tell you to repeat, like that's going to impress God. And I tell you how that applies to our text this morning. We ought not repeat this prayer verbatim either. Lord didn't teach us this prayer that we're just to repeat this prayer verbatim. I remember when I was in, it started in seventh grade. after every basketball practice and before every game, we recited the Lord's Prayer. Like that was going to help us win games. I doubt very seriously that it ever did. That's not what the Lord's teaching us here. There's a big difference between saying your prayers and praying. Big difference. And so the Savior tells us after this manner, pray. Don't just use these words, memorize them and repeat them, but after this manner, pray. After this pattern, pray from your heart. So second, the Lord teaches us how to pray. Like I said, He's not teaching us words that we're supposed to repeat verbatim. He's teaching us what is the heart of prayer. It's the motivation. It's the cry of our heart. And if the Lord will give us the right motivation in prayer, whatever words we use will be just fine. I believe I can show you that in a few different places in our text this morning. Our words will be just fine because the Lord knows what we have need of before we ask. If the motivation of our heart is right, our words will be just fine because He already knows what's in our heart. And if the words don't come out just right, and it seems like they never do they? But it's all right because the Lord knows our heart. And that's what's important. So hopefully that'll take some of the pressure off of us when we pray and enable us to truly pray from the heart. Just lay your heart out open before the Lord. Why wouldn't you? He already knows it. We might as well lay it out open to Him, hadn't we? Now let me give you from our text this morning 8 points on our motivation of prayer. I believe this will be helpful and a blessing. Number one, pray. Because you're a child of God. Verse 9, our Lord says, after this manner, therefore, pray thee, our Father, which art in heaven. Now when you pray, pray like you talk to your Father. Your fathers don't listen to their children because their children have such intelligent, well thought out things to say. Fathers listen to their children because they love them and they do for them. Fathers listen to their children out of love. And it is a delight for fathers to hear the words of their children. And even when they don't say their ahs and their s's just right, fathers love them. Matter of fact, we might kind of like it when they know. I hated it when my children started learning to say their ahs just right. They didn't need to say their ahs just right for me to love listening to them. They're my children. And they just talk to me like I was their daddy. Now, we ought to grow in grace. A believer ought to grow in grace. We ought not be babes in Christ forever. We ought to grow and mature. But I've not yet met a single believer that is happy with their level of maturity. But that's all right. We can still talk to our Heavenly Father, as His children. And if the motivation of our prayer is to talk to our Father, our words are going to just be just fine, aren't they? Because if our motivation is to talk to our Heavenly Father, our words are going to be words of respect. They're going to be words of honor. They're going to be words of trust. Because we're talking to our Father. Our words will naturally bless His holy name. Because we're talking to our Father. You know, we do not speak to or about our fathers as equal, do we? Our fathers are not our equals. They are fathers. Well, when we speak to our Heavenly Father, understanding that the motivation of our heart is to talk to our Father, we know He's not our equal. Our words are going to be words of humility. They're going to be words of honor and respect because we're talking to our Father as a child. And this will give you boldness in prayer if your motivation is to talk to your Father. What an honor. What a privilege that people like us would be a child of the King. That we could talk to our Heavenly Father as His child anytime we want. And that He'll listen as a wise, loving Father listens to His children. That's a mighty good reason to pray, isn't it? A mighty good motivation. Pray like as a child of God. Number two, pray because you're a worshiper of God. Verse 9 says, hallowed be thy name. You know, when we pray, you know what we're doing? We're worshiping. Prayer is worship. We sanctify and honor the name of God when we pray. That's what hallowed be thy name means. It means to sanctify and honor the name of the Lord. Well, I want to be a worshiper, don't you? I know this. The Lord's worthy of our worship. And the Lord is worshiped when in our prayer we acknowledge how great He is, how high above us He is. That's why we're praying in the first place, isn't it? Because of how high above us He is. The Lord is worshiped when we thank Him for everything that He's given us. And He's worshiped when we thank Him for everything He hadn't given us. The Lord is worshiped when we ask Him for what we need. When we ask the Lord for the things that we need, you know what that is? That's acknowledging we need Him. That He's the only one who can give us everything we need. And when we pray with that attitude, the Lord is worshiped. And He'll hear that prayer. Look over at John chapter 4. The Lord will hear the prayer of those who worship Him. John chapter 4. In verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeks those people, to work those worshipers. He seeks them. Well, then He'll hear their prayer. Pray as a worshiper of God. Number three, pray, because you're a subject of the King. Back in our text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Well, we're talking about somebody's got a kingdom. We're speaking to the King, aren't we? And this is our prayer. Lord, let Your kingdom grow. Let Your kingdom be set and established forever. The Jews, this was a phrase that the Jews commonly used, Thy kingdom come. They meant that to, they used that to mean, Lord, send the Messiah like You promised. Send the Savior like You promised. And today we could use this, Lord, Thy kingdom come, to mean, Lord, come again. Come again. Come again. Take me out of this place of sin, out of this body of sin. Come again and let us see You with nothing between. Let us see You not by our weak faith, but by sight, let Your kingdom come. Lord, come again. And when that's the motivation of our prayer, to speak to the King, to honor the King, when we recognize Him as King who rules over everything, we're worshiping Him. When we recognize that the Lord is the first cause of everything, He's the King, nothing happens. I mean the slightest, most insignificant thing you never notice in your day did not happen without His express will. He purposed it to happen before the foundation of the world. And when we pray that way to the King who's the sovereign, we worship Him. And part of talking to the King is, Lord, this is my desire. Rule Your kingdom. Rule it by Your will and give me the grace to want it that way. To bow to it willingly. And when the motivation of our heart is to speak to the King, your words will be just fine. So you don't have to worry as much about the words if the heart's motivation is to speak to the King. Because if we're speaking to the King, our words will naturally be words of respect and honor. He's on the throne and I'm down here in the dust. So they just come naturally. When we pray, you think about this. We're having an audience with the King. The King has agreed to have an audience with us and hear our words. Well, if that's our motivation, our words will come out just fine, won't they? Because we're speaking to the sovereign. And again, just like being a child of God, what an honor it is for people like you and me to be subjects of the King. I mean, you think of that. That's a great honor. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. God has enabled us to come before His throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to pray that way, don't you? To the King. And if we're coming to the King to find mercy and grace from the King, it's His to give. It's His to withhold. If we're coming to find mercy and grace from the King, our words will be just fine. Because they'll be words of a beggar to the King. If we're coming with a heartfelt desire to speak to the King, our words will naturally show the proper relationship between the King and the pauper. So pray like you're talking to the King. Fourthly, pray because you're the servant and the Lord's your master. Verse 10 is, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now the Lord is King. He is sovereign over all. He has subjects in His kingdom. He has subjects, ambassadors. And we are to pray to be in submission to His will. Lord, use me in your service. And it's not because we're coming to the King because we have to bow to Him. Like He'll break our knees, you know, and force us to bow to Him if we don't. No, we're coming as a loving servant to our Master. Lord, your will be done. Because I love your will. And I know this. Your will is best. Even when I don't understand what you're accomplishing in your will, I know your will is best. And that's the way I want it. Well, the Lord's going to do His will, isn't He? We know that. Then let's pray that the Lord would be pleased to save us. Lord, your will be done. I know it is your will to save your people. But Lord, would you save us? Would you save us here? Would you have mercy on us? Lord, use us in your service to preach your gospel. Use us in your kingdom as your servant. And you know, when we have sick loved ones who know the Lord, have a good hope. And sometimes it's hard for us to know how to pray. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is. And sometimes, but we don't know sometimes. You know, should we pray that the Lord heal them and raise them up? Should we pray that the Lord take them home? Sometimes we don't know. But I tell you what, we can always pray. Lord, thy will be done. In this matter, thy will be done. Give me the grace to be happy about it. We can pray that way in any matter that you come across in your life. I don't know what's best about this situation, but Lord, thy will be done. You know, the Lord will hear that prayer. He will. If our motivation is that the Lord's will be done, not my will be done, the Lord will hear that prayer. I'm afraid so often we're not satisfied with our prayer because our prayer is pounding home how much we want our will, not His will. Could be we'll have a whole lot better attitude if our desire is to see the Lord's will be done. All right, fifthly, pray because you're a beggar. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, God has given us everything we have. Everything you have, your talents physically, mentally, your every possession you have, God's given it to you. And you think, well, I go out and work for everything I have. Well, that's true. Who gave you the ability to go work? Who gave you a job? Who put in somebody's heart to hire you and give you a job? Everything we have, God's given us. Well, then our prayer is, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We live in utter dependence upon the Lord every day. I just took a breath. I'm going to need another one in a second. We're dependent on Him to give us bread. We're dependent on Him to give us life and food and water and clothing and housing. It's everything we have. Lord, give us what I need today. And again, well, I think we'd be a whole lot happier with our prayers if we were not praying so much for excess and this excess of all this world's good. And Lord, just give me today what I need. You know what I need. Give it. Just give me that today. And you know, when we pray, Lord, give me what I need. Give me my daily bread.
When we pray that way, we're showing the right relationship between God and us. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we're the beggar. And if that's the motivation of our heart, the words will be just fine. I promise you they will. Now that's true naturally, but it's true spiritually. And let's not forget this. You know, in our prayer, we're not just asking for physical things. This is true spiritually. Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Well, who's our daily bread? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. So our prayer is, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give me Christ today. Let me feed on Christ today. Let me today feed on His righteousness, His obedience, and not mine. I'm going to starve to death if I got to feed on mine. Let me feed on His. Lord, feed me today. Let me be forgiven. Let me feed on Christ today and be forgiven of my sin and His blood. Let me be washed today in His blood. Let me today be seen and heard in Christ alone. Let me feed on Him. That's giving us this day our daily bread. And you know, the Lord will hear that prayer for Christ's sake. Because doesn't that prayer honor the Savior? It honors God's Son to say, let me feed on Him. Be seen in Him. Let me feed on His righteousness. Let me feed on His blood. The Father will hear that prayer. Because that prayer honors His Son. Alright, sixthly. Pray because you're a sinner who needs forgiveness. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now there's countless many things that we need in this life. And like I said, our daily bread includes those physical things. But let's remember the most important need we have is the spiritual bread, the spiritual needs that we have. Of everything we think we need, and we really need them. I'm not saying we don't need those things, but of everything we really need, none of them compare to the need that our sin be forgiven. And if the motivation of our prayer, the cry of our heart, is the cry of a guilty sinner that needs forgiveness, the Lord will hear that prayer. He will. We've got the authority of God's Word to say that. If the cry of our heart is the cry of a guilty sinner who needs forgiveness, I cannot live without it. The Lord will hear that prayer every time. You go through this book, and I promise you, this is what you'll find. You'll find that the Lord always, in every situation, turned away the self-righteous that didn't need Him. Oh, they thought they might need a little help, you know, but they still had some things in themselves, you know, that they didn't need Him. They had some self-righteousness. They had some down payment they could make on this thing. They just needed the Lord to finish it up for them. Every time He turned them away. But not one time ever did He turn away a sinner who needed forgiveness. You won't find a place in this book where somebody cried for mercy that the Lord didn't give it. Well, then I believe we'd be mighty wise to pray as a sinner that needs forgiveness, wouldn't you? Because that's what we are. This week in Bible school, one of our little boys, not yet 4 years old, we all gather out here in the morning, and I have a lesson for them, and then they go back to their class, and I was teaching the lesson, and he raised his hand and just busted out. I was talking about how we don't understand the things of the Lord. He said, we don't understand because we're sinners. You're exactly right. That is exactly right. We need the Lord because we're sinners. Oh, how we need Him. How we need Him. In a minute, I thought, that wasn't in my notes, but I thought, I like that. I'm going to work with this. And so I took, you know, buddy, he knew right where I was going. A minute, he raised his hand again. And he said, we're sinners. And we need the Lord Jesus Christ, he said. We need. He couldn't say his R's and S's just right either, but I'm telling you, that thrilled me. How much more doctrine do we need? It don't really ever get much deeper than that. Everything we believe hinges on those two statements. We need God, because I'm a sinner, and I need
the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we pray that way, I'm telling you this, the Father will hear us. He will. Praying as a sinner who needs forgiveness, you know what that is? That's honoring Christ the Savior. I need His righteousness. I must have His blood. And the Lord will hear that prayer because it honors His Son. The Apostle John said in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, and you know, saying, Lord, forgive me. That's confessing our sins. It's what I've done. It's what I am. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then pray as a sinner that needs forgiveness. Seventh, pray because you're dependent upon the Lord. Verse 13, he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, we are so dependent on the Lord our shepherd to lead us and to guide us. Well, then we should pray that way, shouldn't we? That we need Him to lead us. God does not help those who help themselves. God helps those who are dependent, who need Him, who cannot help themselves. And we need the Lord to lead us, because we'll go the wrong way every time if you don't. We need the Lord to give us wisdom, because we're so ignorant. We need the Lord to show us the way and to keep us in the way, or we'll fall into the ditch every time. And when he talks about the evil here, deliver us from evil. Several things he's talking about there. Could be talking about the evil one. Satan, couldn't he? Well, we need the Lord to deliver us from him because we got no strength against him. We need the Lord to protect us. We need the Lord to pray for us. Satan will sift us like wheat just as easy as he did Peter. But I tell you the other evil. You know, don't always think about evil being out there. You know, evil Satan, evil is everybody else. What about the evil of our own heart? I need the Lord to deliver me from the evil of my own nature. Lord, don't let me go my way. Don't let me have what I think is right. Lord, lead me and guide me and protect me. I'm dependent on you. The Lord will deliver people who pray with that attitude. He will. In dependence on Him. And then lastly, pray with this motivation to glorify the Lord, not to get something from Him. The rest of verse 13 says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now the chief end of man is to glorify God. Then that ought to be our motivation in prayer, to glorify Him. Not to get something from Him, but to glorify Him. And if we pray with this heart's motivation to glorify the character of God, that God is both holy and He's merciful. He's just and He's gracious. There's nobody like Him. Oh, the character of God. If we pray to glorify His wisdom, God found a way to save a sinner like me and not violate His justice. If we pray to glorify God's wisdom in saying, Lord, thy will be done. I don't need to be the one in control of this thing. I'm glad you are. You've got the wisdom to govern all things well. That's glorifying God. If the prayer of our heart, the motivation of our heart, is the glory of God in saving sinners. Wayne prayed this morning that the Lord save our children. And it's our constant prayer, isn't it? The Lord save our loved ones. The Lord save people that will come hear us preach. If the motivation of our heart is to see God save sinners so that He get the glory, He'll do it. He'll do it for somebody. If our prayers would be with a heartfelt desire to glorify His mercy and His grace, the only way I can come before God and be heard is His mercy and His grace. That's the only way He could possibly condescend to hear me. That glorifies God, and God will hear that prayer. And if the motivation, our heart's motivation, really is to seek God's glory, not my glory, but to seek God's glory, you know the words that we use will naturally be just fine. Because they come from our heart's motivation, don't they? And then we'll end our prayer with this. Amen. So be it. This is the desire of my heart. This is the motivation of my heart so be it. Oh, I love the Lord. Bless that to him.